Officially, of course, FDA refers to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. But when it comes to policy making here in Indiana, FDA could well stand for fickle, or at least fractured, drug attitudes. This session, Hoosier lawmakers are poised to ease penalties for possessing modest amounts of illegal drugs, even though they rejected a call for the decriminalization of marijuana. Some lawmakers don't want to extend traditional Medicaid coverage, including drug benefits, to cover more uninsured Hoosiers, but they do want to revoke the welfare benefits of recipients who test positive for drug use. And many of the same lawmakers who regularly decry government intrusion in people's lives seem eager to erect more regulatory barriers between doctors and their patients. Welcome to Drug Policymaking in the 21st Century. We'll do our best to make sense of it all on this edition of Indiana Lawmakers. I'm your host, John Schwannes. Thanks for joining us. We'll start, as we always do, with a legislative update from Sam Quinn of thestatehousefile.com, a service of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism.
For years, lawmakers have tried to curb the meth problem that plagues parts of Indiana. A group of mayors went to the State House this week to urge them to keep trying. Mayor Lloyd Wenneke says he came to the Capitol to tell the Evansville story.
Evansville and Vandenberg County have more meth labs in each of the last 2 years than any community in the state. And I wanted legislators to hear firsthand what we're facing in our communities.
A key ingredient in the meth-making process is pseudoephedrine, which is found in the over-the-counter cold medicines. The mayors say they want Indiana to require doctors' prescriptions for those medicines. Instead, lawmakers are advancing a more limited anti-meth bill. The state already restricts how much of those drugs Hoosiers can buy in a day or a month. Now lawmakers are working on legislation to impose a yearly limit. Buyers would need prescriptions only to get more than 8 months' worth of these drugs. Plymouth Mayor Mark Center says it's hard to know if the bill will work. He's been disappointed before.
We thought the bill that when you had to show your identification and sign your life away that began on July 1st of 2005, we thought that would have an effect, and it did for a while, but it seems like we're right back in it now.
The bill is headed to the full House for consideration. For Indiana lawmakers and thestatehousefile.com, I'm Sam Quinn.
Thanks, Sam. Back in a moment with our roundtable discussion. Indiana lawmakers, from the State House to your house.
Purdue Research Park. 4 locations, 200 companies, 4,000 jobs. Purdue Research Park. The idea economy is here.
Does Indiana have a drug problem? That's a tough question to answer, in part because the very question means different things to different people. Are we talking about the abuse of prescription painkillers, about the spread of methamphetamine, or about the inherent difficulty in cracking down on so-called bath salts and other synthetic drugs? For some Hoosiers, meanwhile, the biggest drug problem might be the reluctance of the General Assembly to decriminalize marijuana. For better or worse, Indiana's 2013 legislative session has touched on all of those things. And that's precisely what we'll try to do during our roundtable discussion with Republican Senator Carlin Yoder of Middlebury, the Senate's Assistant Majority Caucus Chair, and a driving force behind the push for tougher methamphetamine laws. Plymouth Mayor Mark Center, who prior to his election in 2007 spent 28 years with the Indiana State Police. David Powell, Executive Director of the Indiana Prosecuting Attorneys Council. And Grant Monahan, longtime president of the Indiana Retail Council. And I appreciate your being here for this discussion. I just said that the question, is Indiana, does it have a drug problem, is a difficult one to answer, but that's not going to stop me from asking you all about that. Senator Yoder, does Indiana have a drug problem, and if so, how bad is it?
Well, yes, clearly Indiana does have a drug problem, and I think what a lot of people don't realize is how big a problem it is. And, you know, it used to be viewed as a city problem or an urban problem, and what we're seeing today is it's much more than that. It's across the state. It's in our rural areas, especially with the meth production that we're seeing. It's being made here at home in our Indiana heartland. And so, yeah, we have a huge problem. It's a difficult thing to get a grasp on, and it's something we're trying to do right now.
And getting worse. Bad and getting worse, would you say, or have we?
I would say, yes, it is getting worse.
You've seen it from a couple different perspectives.
Right,
you've seen it as a specialist in drug eradication for the state police and certainly
officer,
as mayor.
We started seeing meth labs in the mid-90s, and they would pop up here and pop up there. And then it really started going around 2000. And in 2001, the state police sent probably about 100 officers, troopers to meth school to finally, you know, try and put a stop and to clean up both. It was both education and cleanup of these labs, and we had about 100 officers dedicated at one time, and then in 2002, 2003, it was still pretty slow going, and 2004 is when, in my opinion, it really started taking off, and I can hardly, 2005 and 2006, we were just inundated with labs, and that, this was all in North Central Indiana, very rural. At that time, it was not an urban issue.
And why do municipal officials and law enforcement officials see it as such a, is it because the manufacturer is an inherently dangerous process that can injure not only
it
the
is.
People cooking the drugs, but those around them? Is it because the drug itself can be dangerous? Is it because of the crime?
What is
the issue here?
The way that it affects a neighborhood, and most importantly, in my opinion, the way that it affects our children and the future of our society, and it is... just to see these children and their parents going off to jail because of meth, and the living conditions that they have had to live under is just totally awful. That is my passion, is to try and save these children from what they have seen and witnessed.
Well, David Powell, let me ask you. Senator Yoder said that one of the problems is that drugs have become the manufacture and distribution, such a widespread problem. It's not just a downtown urban kind of problem anymore. You have a good perspective because you represent the 90-plus prosecuting attorneys across the state. And you're from Greene County, which doesn't have, aside from Bloomfield and Switz City, any large metropolitan areas.
About 7,000 people is the largest.
That's a problem area, even in a place, a relatively quiet rural area such as Greene County.
Well, I'm sure the elected prosecutor there will tell you it's not very quiet, and I was the elected prosecutor there for 20 years and certainly saw the meth problem develop. Let me talk about the size and scope of the problem. I served on the Criminal Code Evaluation Commission, and the chief probation officer, the lead probation officer for the Indiana Probation Officers, pointed out that about 180,000 people are on probation annually in Indiana. And of that 180,000, 80% of them say they have an addiction problem. That's a lot of folks. And we don't have the ability, and what you'll see throughout the state, one of the reasons this problem continues is that we don't have really local treatment options for these folks. And so addiction seems to stick around and stay with these folks unless they have the ability to pay for it. And as we all know, folks on meth generally have nothing. Meth, as you talked about children, first of all, it's very dangerous. It causes fires, explosions. I've had cases where properties burned down. The users caught themselves on fire cooking it. Meth, when it's made, is typically spread about and can be used in a powdery form. And children, every home we went into in a meth house where there were children, it was in their system. Because if they leave it on the table or spill it on the floor, if you come into physical contact with meth, you absorb it through your skin. So all of these kids had meth in their system in almost every home we went into. Also, most of our rural burglaries, many of which go unsolved, are drug-related. I can tell you in almost every drug dealer's house we went into, it was full of stolen property. Because drug dealers, people who make meth and sell it or other drugs, will barter. You don't have to have cash. They'll take a gun, they'll take a television. And so we know in our rural communities, at least, our rural burglaries are often drug-related because of the addictive properties. If you're addicted to this stuff, you become desperate, and you'll break into homes to get things. So it's more than just children. I mean, it's a huge issue. For rural communities, I know.
Grant Monahan, what's a nice guy from the Retail Council doing in a discussion like this? I mean, you've been with the Retail Council since 1979. Did you ever imagine that you and your industry would be involved in discussions about methamphetamine and other sorts of things?
I mean, to be honest with you, no. The world has changed significantly since I started with the association. And you know, we find almost every session of the General Assembly, there's some aspects, something that we sell or some retailers may be selling, that is the focus of the legislature's attention. And I think that's far different today than it was when I started the association. You know, you talk about theft. I met with a group of retail loss prevention folks about a month ago, And virtually all of the theft that occurs in a retail store now is drug related, and it's significant. Now, no longer in a retail setting are we just talking about shoplifting, which is sort of an individual who's stealing just for his own, for himself. It's now groups of people who are organized, who are going in and cleaning out entire shelves of merchandise and selling the product or trading it in for drugs.
So we have a pretty good understanding, perhaps, of the problem, and it does seem pretty widespread. Let's shift, if we can, to the possible solutions. And again, it's you mentioned, Grant, that this is every year it seems that there's a different aspect of this that we're dealing with. And even if we look at methamphetamine, it's not case of first impression. You might say this is going back now to sort of refine and retool earlier provisions, earlier statutes. You're, as I mentioned in the introduction, a driving force behind probably the main methamphetamine bill this year. What is it you want to accomplish, and what's the, I know there are a lot of elements, but what's the main thing that you see coming out of this?
Well, the main thing is we're putting on an annual cap as far as the amount of ephedrine, pseudoephedrine you can purchase in a year. Currently, we have daily limits and we have monthly limits. What my bill will do will also put yearly limits. It also put in some stiffer penalties for those who get involved in what's called smurfing, buying the product, selling it again, spreading it out so that they can use it to cook meth. But, you know, the biggest fight we have is the battle between moving this product to a prescription only versus leaving it in the NPLEX system where it's tracked in real time. And what this bill does, I think, is strikes a good balance there. It allows the innocent people who really need this product, some on a near daily basis, to be able to get this product without having to go to the doctor, drive up costs for themselves, and still manages to put some roadblocks in place against those who want to use them for nefarious means.
Now, you mentioned the new annual cap, you know, that would supplement the daily and monthly caps, and of course could change between now and April 29th,
sure,
whenever the session ends. But right now it's at a little over 60 grams, 61.2
correct,
grams, which I'm told is about 8 months' worth for the average cold or allergy sufferer.
That's right.
Is that...
That's right, and
enough to get the job done.
Yeah, I
think
so.
If you're a law-abiding citizen,
yeah,
can I get by? And I do have chronic sinusitis.
Sure.
Is that enough to meet my needs?
Yeah, I think so. And the general consensus was, as I talked to doctors and other players in this, that if you're over that limit, if you need more than that product, you should be under a doctor's care anyway, because some pretty serious medication you're taking at that point. So, you know, I'm not sure there's a perfect line where you put that, but we felt 8 months seemed like a fair place.
Mayor, you and many of your counterparts around the state have made this a real focal point of a lot of your lobbying efforts with the whole Trust Local initiative that the Mayoral Association has gotten behind to try to authorize and empower municipal governments to do, in fact, what Senator Yoder just talked about, which is impose certain prescription requirements, right? Or to even lower that annual standard well below the threshold that's currently in the bill. Are you satisfied with the bill as it stands now?
I am satisfied. After yesterday's hearing, I think we're on the right track.
I should point out you testified.
Right.
In fact, you were in our video clip earlier.
That's scary.
Yeah, well, you've got to watch the show now so you can see what you said.
But I'm happy with the way it is. It's baby steps. We started this back in 2005 when we had to start signing and showing ID for Sudafed and ephedrine. And at first, it really seemed to help. And then they were able, the cookers were able to realize they could go from one pharmacy to another without much tracking, other than the enforcement by the officers. There wasn't any electronic tracking at that time. I think we're on the right track, this has become not only a rural phenomenon, but it's also urban, and you saw Mayor Winneke yesterday from Evansville also testify, and I know Goshen and Elkhart have been hit really hard, and South Bend not so much, but it is becoming not only a rural situation, but it's also entering the urban neighborhoods.
Well, and the statistic, if I'm not mistaken, that the mayors are using is what, more than 1,400 labs that were taken down last year, which is a mind-boggling number.
It is, and I appreciate the Indiana Association of Cities and Towns that has really taken this on, too. This was one of the legislative committee's number one priority. So,
David Powell, let me ask you again from the prosecutorial standpoint. You heard what the mayor said, that they're satisfied. They probably would have liked tougher restrictions. How about you all? Would you want to see more of this under prescription lock and key, so to speak, or would you like to see the annual limits even lower, or is this what you all can live with?
We support the senator's bill. Certainly pseudoephedrine and ephedrine are you can't make meth without those. Those are the key. They change one molecule in that to create a methamphetamine, regardless of the method they use. But controlling that's critical, and eliminating that as a source to those folks. Certainly there is a legitimate medical purpose, and no one wants to restrict that. We just need to find a way, and of course every year we come up with more tweaks to the system, and the senator's bill is, we think, an excellent response. There's also, obviously, Senator Merritt has a bill dealing with the synthetic problem, which is another issue but related, and affects retailers as well. So it's complicated. It's difficult. Every year we try to come up with a better way to deal with it, and I'm sure that will continue.
You know, in a way, it seems that this legislation and this tightening of the restrictions puts the retail sector and merchants almost on the front line, the first line of defense, or the first sort of line of law enforcement. Is that a comfortable position for the people you represent, or would you just as soon say, hey, it's not our issue, we're just shopkeepers and merchants, and we're selling products, we're not record keepers, we're not trying to help build these elaborate databases. Is it uncomfortable for retailers?
I don't know that it's uncomfortable. I think it's a responsibility that our members have accepted and realized that as they're a part of this society with a society with a drug problem, that they have a responsibility to do what they can to assist law enforcement or to help to enforce the state's law. You know, the mayor was right in the earlier days when all we had was a paper log to record pseudoephedrine sales. It was difficult for law enforcement to track any of that. It was just reams and reams of paper, and difficult to find a pattern and to find the meth cookers or the Smurfs. The electronic system that's in place now, thanks to legislation from Senator Yoder a year or two ago, really dramatically improves the efficiency of law enforcement in tracking these people in real time, and it really is less of a burden on retailers because it is electronic. It's easier to do certainly than the logs were.
And I would add to that, you know, this was a team effort. I think everybody came together to work in the solution. It wasn't the retailers trying to fight for their space. Instead, the retailers and the pharmaceuticals and everybody came together and said, let's get a solution to this problem. Let's work together and see what we come up with. So it was a very collaborative effort from everybody involved.
Now, some of the trade groups, though, or at least the trade group that represents over-the-counter medications, they've done provided research, which, again, stakes out a position. I guess it would be expected that one poll suggested that Hoosiers, maybe 65%, I believe, opposed to dramatically enhanced restrictions on pseudoephedrine, and other products. And then there was, out of their national umbrella organization, some economic data which suggested that this has a multi-billion-dollar impact that enhanced prescription requirements and limits. Because of lost work time, people won't get their meds. They'll go to doctors, take up more time, spend more health care. You don't buy it?
Yeah, I buy it. I don't think people are ready for prescription drugs, especially Hoosiers. I talk to doctors who say, please don't do this.
You think limits not the problem in their eyes, but the prescriptions.
Prescription
really
is a big problem.
The scale.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
It's a very big problem. You are significantly ratcheting up the cost of health care when you require a prescription to get these over-the-counter allergy and cold medications. Now you just go to the drugstore, pay your $12 for the product. You're registered on the Emplex plan and you're home and that's it. If you go to prescription, you've got to make an appointment with the doctor. Maybe in a week or two you finally get in to see him. You pay the copay for the doctor's visit, get the prescription, and then you finally get a chance to get to the drugstore to pick up the product you want.
And, well, again, on the subject of retailers, we get to the subject that I think, David, you mentioned a moment ago with synthetic drugs, and call it spice or K2
or bath salts.
Again, which are seen over-the-counter in lots of establishments, and there have been efforts to try to control this in the past but through putting certain things, certain formulations, chemical formulations on the controlled substance list, and guess what? They just, manufacturers just change them. Is there a way to get a handle on this?
I was out of law enforcement when they came along. We were talking earlier when K2 and the bath salts came along, and it's just been in the last 3 or 4 years. And I know that we have officers in our community that are monitoring that, and we do have a couple shops. It seems like a problem within the mini marts too, that they're selling some of this stuff. So, but we're doing our best to try and get ahead of it, but it's not always easy.
Well, and one version of the legislation basically says if it looks like it, if it acts like it, then it's a problem, which I think pretty much guarantees a legal challenge. Is that, you think, a safe bet, Grant?
That's possible. I think you need to keep in focus who are these retailers who are selling these kinds of products, and they are not your traditional retailer or the retailer that your viewers would frequent on a regular basis. These are independent retailers.
It's a big tent almost, we have viewers all across the spectrum.
But these are people who are really almost off the grid, if you will, and they are clearly in violation of the law. They know it by selling these products, and they do it sort of under the counter, and they know they're violating the law. Their customers know the transaction is taking place in violation of the law, and they're just really, really kind of encouraging law enforcement to track them down.
And, of course, the one thing that isn't sort of under the counter is the whole notion of prescription medication. That's very much mainstream and affects large portion of Indiana's citizenry. Big problem as you see it?
Well, it is, but you know, you go back to the meth, but yet we want to put meth under a prescription drug, and yet prescription drugs are one of the most abused drugs in Indiana. So, we've got big issues there. Doctors are over-prescribing, frankly, on certain things here. They're overwhelmed with people coming in and needing these products and so on, and we are far from getting a handle on that. Opiate issues are huge in Indiana.
And we're out of time, but I did say we touched on everything in the intro. Legalization or decriminalization of marijuana didn't go anywhere this session. The committee to which it was assigned, the chairman said no, but the authors vowed to bring it back. David Powell, it sounds as if this is something, a line in the sand as far as you're concerned.
It is.
I know you have literature you brought today about how significant
Indiana prosecutors, and we believe law enforcement across the board, are clearly opposed to any decriminalization of marijuana, and there's all kinds of good reasons why. And, of course, I shared with you some studies on the impact of marijuana, and we could spend 3 or 4 days talking about that.
2 or 3 days I'm afraid we don't have, right, because I'm getting a rap signal, but point well taken. I do appreciate your being here to discuss these issues. Again, my guests have been Republican Senator Carlin Yoder of Middlebury, Plymouth Mayor and former State Trooper Mark Center, David Powell, Executive Director of the Indiana Prosecuting Attorneys Council, and Grant Monahan, President of the Indiana Retail Council. With neighboring states wanting a piece of the action, what's the future of Indiana's casinos? The game's afoot on the next Indiana Lawmakers. And time now for our weekly conversation with Ed Feigenbaum, publisher of the newsletter Indiana Legislative Insight. Well, Ed, you know, in the roundtable, a lot of the guests seem to be on one side, that is, let's crack down on drugs. Is that because, politically speaking, there aren't a lot of people who stand up and say, hey, we need more drugs, we need less restriction? I mean, is it a lopsided political battle?
Well, it is when you're dealing with the legislative front, but I think that when some of these legislators get back to their districts after a law like this goes into effect and hear from people who are trying to deal with it on a daily basis, things may be a little bit more difficult for them. That there may be some concerns expressed to them by people, and we heard a little bit about this in the roundtable, who aren't able to get some of these medications as freely as they might have hoped. That they can't just run into, you know, the convenience store and grab some product with pseudoephedrine off the shelf. You know, they're not going to have to go to their doctor necessarily to get the prescription, but it may be a major inconvenience for them to have to go and submit to the registry, and they may not want to take the time. They may not want to have their name on there. They may just not want to go through the whole inconvenience of that process. There are just a lot of people who are Hoosiers, just don't believe that government should necessarily intrude into their lives like that, even if it's for a good purpose.
You know, what you just said, a lot of people don't want government intruding into their lives, also describes a good number of the members of the General Assembly, particularly Republicans, who've said, you know, get out of the relationship between patient and doctor, for instance. But several of the bills, maybe not those that will prevail this year, but would put all kinds of new restrictions, you know, with prescription painkillers, there'd be sort of a best practice, and physicians would be expected to follow that and maybe even wean patients from painkillers. So clearly a barrier between patient and doctor. Is it hard for some of the conservatives to reconcile these seemingly opposite positions?
I think this has been a problem for a number of members, a philosophical problem over the last 2 years, in fact, because we've seen a lot of members come in with almost a libertarian kind of philosophy about where government should be on some of these issues. Yet at the same time, they realize that there have to be some kind of government intervention in some particular areas. And they've got to draw a line somewhere. And it's very difficult for that line to be drawn on some of these personal privacy kinds of issues.
Realities always get in the way of philosophy, I suppose. Ed, thank you as always for your insight. I appreciate it. For more information, episode streams, and extra content, visit us on the web at wfyi.org/lawmakers. Well, that concludes another edition of Indiana Lawmakers. I'm John Schwanis, and on behalf of WFYI Public Media, Indiana's other public broadcasting stations, and thestatehousefile.com, I thank you for tuning in and invite you to join us again at the same time next week. Until then, take care.
The idea economy is here at the Purdue Research Park. A powerful economic engine and a technology conduit from Chicago to Louisville. Purdue Research Park, the idea economy is here.